This morning, I would like to focus on one verse, which is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And I also want to come back to that verse tonight. And I trust that these messages will help us and be a blessing to us and just help us to realize just what we have in Christ. You know, life can change in an instant. Life can change in a moment. Just over the last week, there's been devastation all around us. There's been lives that were changed, and they will be changed forever. Death comes. So news is given. Maybe something that you're not expecting. You can be living your life and everything be going good, and then all of a sudden it's just a phone call or just a doctor visit or just anything really can change your life. And so it's important for us to realize what our focus is in and who our focus is. And so we've titled this message, The Life of a Christian. You know, the life of a Christian is really not much different in one sense as those that are non-Christians. And what I mean by that is there's still problems. There's still issues. There's still dealing with the everyday hustle and bustle of life. And life can change for a non-Christian just as quick as one that is a Christian. But where the difference is knowing Christ. And so that's the difference, and that is how that I believe that Paul here tells us gives us a tremendous message in this one verse that we're going to read. So we want to read that now. It says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, and the verse goes like this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want to spend today in both of our services thinking about that verse. And thinking about both aspects of that verse, and we begin with life. But let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for how you help us in each and every day. Lord, we know that there are individuals that are hurting, that are mourning, that are struggling, and that are wondering what's next. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? Father, we know the answer is to look to you. So, Father, we pray that every individual that is going through life changes and facing life changes, they will realize that the focus must be in you. And for us that are here this morning and those that are watching, I pray that our focus will be on you because life changes for us as well. Father, we just want you to get glory. We ask that you clear our minds, that you clear our hearts, and that our focus will be on you for just this little while this morning. And Lord, we ask that you do a work in every heart. If there's someone that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you'll touch that heart and cause them to realize that life really doesn't begin unless you know Jesus. Father, I pray that you help us this morning. Help me, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Questions like, or statements like, where has time gone? It seems like yesterday. Many of us that are in this room, and even those that are watching, have said similar words. If you could roll back the clock of your life, and if you could go back and remember years gone by, you would remember things like, when I get older, I'm going to do this or do that. When I grow up, I would like to do this or do that, or I hope that this will happen. When I get out of school, which was one of my favorites, when I get out of school, I'm never going to go back. But I did. Never say you're not going to do anything, because a lot of times you will. Things like, when I get a job, I hope to do this, or you think life is going to change. And the statements could go on and on and on. And believe it or not, the statements are still made, just different statements. Every stage of life, no matter what age you are, every stage of life, there are questions or statements that are made that are similar to the ones that I just said. Things that I would like to do, things that I would hope to do. I have learned, though, that over the course of a good number of years, we all have what you would call maybe bucket lists, things that you would like to do or things that you would like to accomplish. And I can honestly say that my bucket's gotten a lot smaller. Because there are going to be some things that I would like to have done that I probably will never do. So that's just none other than life changing. Life changes for all of us. Life changes in a way of, there's some things that I thought I wanted to do that I really don't want to do anymore. So heart changes, and there's a lot of things that change in a person's life. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what time period you're living, no matter what age or what season that you're in now, the most important thing to realize is what Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Paul was great and well-known. He was a great and a well-known preacher. He was called on the Damascus Road, and he says the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And his life changed. Jesus changed his life. No longer was he worried about the things that he was worried about. No longer was he concerned about where his life was before Christ. Although he made reference through several of his letters, he made references about his former life. But he counted all of them as dung, as the scripture says, because they really weren't important anymore. His life didn't become important in the right way until he came to know Christ. So we know that he was a great witness for Christ. We know that he was a great preacher. He was a great writer. But I think in saying this verse and in writing this verse and in us reading this verse, I believe that it's more than just a statement, but I believe that it was his testimony. If you know anything about Paul and anything about his life and anything about his writings, there was many times that, especially here in the Philippians, he loved these people. He had a great compassion for these people. And there was others that he was correcting, and he was saying, you know, why have you left what you know? And so you look at his letters, but when you read this statement, I believe it was more of a testimony and experience of his own life. And so what is the best way for us to understand this morning than look at a person's life and how did he come up with it? Well, we know the Holy Spirit inspired him, and we know all that, but he still had to believe it. He still had to live it. You know, it's one thing to read a verse in the Bible and you say, well, of course it's true because it's truth and it's God's word, but it's another to live it. And to believe it yourself. And I believe as he was making this statement and as he was giving this testimony, I believe that he truly believed and he understood because he experienced, for me to live as Christ. And I believe that was his testimony. For me to live as Christ. Paul suffered a lot of hardships. Paul suffered a lot of grief. Paul suffered a lot of ways. He was imprisoned a number of times. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. he had spiritual pressure on him, just like we do today. And I believe that there was a certain amount of loneliness that he shared. And the reason I think that there was a certain amount of loneliness is because many didn't understand him. Many didn't understand who he was. There was some that still wanted to reject him because of his past life. And that's a shame, because God can change the life. And we don't change, you know, we don't judge a person because of their past life. We look to them and we realize that Christ can change any life. And he can change no matter how bad it is. He can still change it life. And in the beginning, there were those that were still afraid of Paul. Of course, then he was called Saul. But there was people that were still afraid of him. But Jesus changed his life. And I think that's why we call it his testimony, is simply because Jesus changed his life. The life of a Christian. There was also beforehand an understanding that there was going to be suffering. Acts chapter 9 verse 16, the Lord knew that there would be a certain amount of suffering. And the scripture says that there's going to be a certain amount of suffering. Do you realize even in our own life there's going to be a certain amount of suffering? Do you realize that during these storms, the storms that came through this week devastated the non-Christian and devastated the Christian? I was reading that Trinity Baptist Church, where Ralph Sexton pastored and now his son-in-law pastors, they're not able to have church, and they're using that as a work zone, if you will, for the EMS and the first responders and all those, and they're using that facility. And the statement was made that they don't know when they're going to have church again. There were people that were worshiping the same time we were worshiping last week that have no place to worship. There's changes here because of our basement, but we are still together to worship together. So there's a certain amount of suffering that we can come to expect. But how can we handle this suffering? How can we go through this suffering? How can we go through these things in our life that just happen? Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and I believe that this was the very theme of his life by way of testimony, but I also believe that he had an understanding that Christ was the center of his life. For a person to have this theme, as Paul had, for a person to have this theme, there must be a relationship. There must be a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be a time in your life and my life that I said yes to Jesus. That I said, come into my heart, and you said, come into your heart, and to save you. There must be a time that you've said yes, that you said, Father, Lord, forgive me my sins and come into my life and save me. There must be a time in your life that you've repented for your sin and you've turned from those sins. It doesn't mean we're not going to sin, because we all sin. But the difference is that that is not in the forefront of our life, that sin. So there must be a time in our life that we have that personal relationship. And if you don't have that personal relationship with the Lord, you're not going to understand the rest of what I'm saying. You're not going to understand, because when you're talking to an individual that doesn't know Christ, and there's people that we come in contact with every day, you can talk to them about some things and they'll look at you blankly. They'll look at you, they'll look at you and they think that you're speaking a foreign language. Now more than ever, we deal, at least, in my current situation where we work, we deal with people, that come in and they don't speak English. And so we try to interact with them and phone apps are great, because they talk into them and we talk into them and we're carrying on a conversation, but I have no idea what they're saying. But yet through the phone. So I'm thankful for those apps. But when you're talking to someone and they don't totally speak total English, then sometimes you look at them and they're looking at you blankly and you're looking at them blankly, and rightfully so. There's a sound barrier, but you realize that the lost do that to us as Christians. They look at us blankly and we look at them blankly, and we sometimes say, "Well, why don't you get this?" And then they look at us and they say, "I don't understand you." Because there is a barrier. But I thank the Lord that Christ can conquer barriers.
Amen.
He can conquer barriers. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and we know that. But that means every one of us. And that means everyone, no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you're from, no matter what you speak, no matter where you come from, your bloodline, or anything like that, when the Bible says for all, that means everybody. But it also says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Right.
So you not only have an all have sinned, but you've also got a whosoever shall call. You see, they work hand in hand together. We must understand that all have sinned, but we also must understand that salvation is for all because it's whosoever. So we have to have that relationship, and Paul understood that. That's why it was hard for those that were looking on at Paul's life in the beginning. They were looking on and saying, "How could this be that a man would hold someone's coats when Stephen was getting stoned? How could this be that he is now saying, 'Lord, what would thou have me to do?' And now he's going to be on a mission for Christ. How could this be?" And there was people saying, "Can we trust this guy? Can we trust him?" It's Jesus. It's Christ that made a difference in his life. And I believe that's why he gave a testimony by saying, "For me to live is Christ," because he was no longer living for himself. He was no longer living for religion. He was no longer persecuting the church, but his testimony was, "For me to live is Christ." When you stop and truly think about it, it's hard for someone that is unsaved, because life doesn't make a lot of sense. Life doesn't make a lot of sense because the focus is on success. The focus is on well-being. The focus is on, how much you can achieve and all those type of things. And so they struggle with the real purpose in life. Someone that's lost is struggling with the real purpose in life. And they believe, meaning that the real purpose in life is to make a mark in your life, or to make a mark with your life. But do you realize that that will only take you a little way? Believe it or not, the way that history is changing and the way that the world is trying to change history, I would venture to say, unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, there are going to be people in the next 50 to 100 years that will be forgot about. They're going to be forgotten about, because people are trying to change history. They're going to be forgot about. Their names aren't even going to be mentioned. They're gone. So let me ask you a question. Those individuals were successful, but how successful were they? If they're going to be forgot about, was success, did it have its limits? Paul's life was different. Paul's life was different. His testimony of life was different once he came to know Christ. His life was different. So there's three aspects for the time that we have this morning. There's three aspects of his life that I would like us to consider as the life of a Christian. There are three aspects of his life. And the first aspect is this. Christ was the essence of his life. When he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior on that Damascus road, Christ was the essence of his life. His life changed. And I want to call it the very substance. I'd like to use that term, substance, that Christ was the substance of his life. Sometimes a person can eat food, and you'll hear him say, maybe the doctor's got him on a diet or something like this, and the doctor's got him on a diet you have to eat certain foods, and maybe some of you are having to deal with that. But you might say, well, there's no substance in the meal. It's very bland. There's no substance. Growing up, my mother would buy cereal for all of the kids. And one of the cheapest things, and some of you can probably relate to it, it came in a bag, but one of the cheapest things, and I think they still make it. I actually Googled it yesterday to see if they still made it. One of the things that I grew up with, and maybe some of you still eat it. I'm not knocking it or anything if you do. I don't want anybody to be mad at me, but one of the things that we used to eat because it was so inexpensive, it was probably 50 cents a bag or less, and that was puffed wheat. Y'all remember puffed wheat, the little bitty? And so you could eat it, and it's like there's no substance. I mean, there was no joy. I'm just going to tell you, there's no joy. Until you put a lot of sugar on it. And you put your fruit on it. And then you smothered it in milk. And there was substance. It was no longer bland. It was no longer dry. But it had substance. And then breakfast became meaningful. Christ makes life meaningful.
Amen.
Christ makes life meaningful. Christ was the essence of Paul's life. By nature, we're spiritually dead, found in John 5, verse 40. But when Paul came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, he received eternal life and things changed. Paul began to live. You see, we live when we're conceived, that's when life begins. And then we're born, and then we're living, but we don't really truly become living until we come to know Christ, the real living. Until we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. And this was the substance of his life, and that was none other than Christ. That's why he was able to say, for me to live is Christ, because life now had a substance. It wasn't just what he wanted to do. It wasn't just his normal routine. It was his life now had a substance, and that substance was Jesus Christ. And then there was an outpouring of a heart change in his life. John chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, that's the substance. The substance, the essential part of life is Christ. And that's the essence of life. There's another verse that we spoke on not too long ago, and I'll read it to you again because this was another part of his testimony that it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There's that substance that is, essence of his life, meaning that Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, his life now centered around Christ. Why is that so important? I'll share with that in just a few moments. You see, he that hath the Son, meaning Christ, the Bible says, hath life. So that's the essence of life. Christ is the essence of life. Well, number two, Christ was the experience of his life. You see, his life changed and he began to experience Christ. Paul knew Christ as his indwelling Lord. You see, now he has Christ in his heart, and Paul's life changed once he came to know Christ. Once he came to know Christ, his life changed, and that's where that Galatians 2:20 comes from, knowing that his life changed because of that experience. That experience that he now had. A believer is one in whom Christ lives. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, as the scripture calls. The Holy Spirit that helps us. How do you know that you are getting ready to do something wrong? How do you know that, when I was, even when I got saved and when I got away from the Lord for that period of time in my life, I still knew that my heart wasn't where it needed to be because of the indwelling, because of conviction, because Christ is the experience of life. So he didn't begin living, truly living, until he came to know Jesus Christ. Christ in you. That's why life becomes different. That's when you view things differently. And you that are saved, you understand what I'm saying, that you view things differently. And I've told you this before, but I'll say it again, I never told anybody I got saved. I was real bashful, and I never told anybody. After I got saved on that Friday night, I didn't go run up and tell everybody, hey, I got saved, and I just kept it to myself. And it was 2 weeks later that my dad took me to the side and said, when did it happen? And I said, what? He said, when did you get saved? I said, I didn't tell anybody. He said, yeah, you changed. Christ changes you. And he can change anyone. You see, that's where Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Now, it didn't mean that I wasn't no more a perfect child because I was 15. I wasn't no more a perfect child after I got saved than what I was before I got saved because, we have that sinful nature. But the countenance changed. And I also thought before I actually did something. There's a difference. And then number three this morning is Christ was the splendor of his life. And let me kind of put that word splendor this way. His life was now illuminated. There was an illumination in his life because of Christ. Paul really didn't begin truly living, and I said this before, but he really truly didn't begin living until he came to know Christ. That's when he truly began living. And that's when the scripture says, for me to live is Christ. He was living in a fleshly body. He was living in body. He was breathing. He was eating. He was doing all those things before he got saved. But then his life changed and he still did all those things. But most importantly, his life now pointed to Christ. And I will say, Christ is the only one that can make that kind of change. You can do a list of things. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to do that better. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all those things. You may as well throw those lists out the window. Because it's not going to happen. The only time that a heart is going to get changed is when that heart meets Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only time that heart's going to get changed. I know a man that was in our community years ago, and he was probably one of the nicest men that you would ever want to meet. He would do anything to help anybody. He would do. I mean, it was just unbelievable how this person was, but he wasn't saved. And he would give you the shirt off his back. He would help you. He would do everything for you. But yet there was something that was missing. And from my understanding, about 2 weeks before he died, he came to know Christ. He truly lived for those few weeks. But the most important is he got to experience life in Christ. That's the most important thing. That's why it's an illumination. That's why it's splendor of his life, was because Christ made a change in his life. His life began to shape. His life began to shine like rays of the sun. You've seen it, how that the sun will shine these rays through the clouds. And you'll see that in many times it makes a beautiful picture. Well, do you know something? It makes a beautiful picture in someone's life if they know Christ. Because those rays began to shine through. They began to shine through in a person's life. His life had meaning when he came to know Christ. And that's why he could say, for me to live is Christ. He had a brighter life. And he had a much brighter future. Christ brought joy in his life. And he viewed things totally different. And that's what Christ does. He causes us to view things totally different. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, the Bible says, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is not to work out to be saved. That is working out. That is letting those rays shine through in your life. Work out your salvation. Because in verse 13 it says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You see, it's Christ working in us. That's that splendor. That's that illumination. He viewed things totally different. Christ shone through his life, and he no longer did things to bring Paul joy. But Paul's joy came from Christ and him living the kind of life that the Lord would be pleased with. And then that was true joy. Because when we do things to bring us joy, we all know that it's short-lived. How many times have you said, I can't wait till, you know, maybe you're planning a trip or something, and you say, I can't wait till this, and I'm looking forward to this, and before you know it, it's gone. That's how quickly life goes by. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, that's that illumination. In Christ, a person is unique and wonderfully made in Christ. We experience life through him. The life of a Christian is in Christ. Now, how can all this be summed up? For me to live is Christ. There are people right now that are suffering because of this storm. And if you've seen the many, 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 many pictures, and there's going to be many, many more to come, but if you see the devastation and you see homes that are gone, places that are gone, people that are lost, you know, the things that people work. You know, I saw a video of what Lake Lure looked like before and what it looks like now, and it's not even the same. Tragedy. Storms. And this is just, that's just one example. I mean, you can go up the whole path of this storm and you can see devastation and hurting in communities that have changed. And so, if individuals, if their joy and their hearts and all these things are totally focused on the things they have, by material, sadly, and broken heart, those things are now gone. The only thing that many have is Jesus. That's how quickly life can change. And life changes, and it can change in a moment's notice. We can leave here this morning, and our life can be changed by tragedy, by an event, by different things that might happen. When we have Christ, He is our foundation, and He is our joy, and He is our life. That is the most important thing, is knowing. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that's where you pull deep in life, and that's where you reach down deep and say, Lord, my life is in You. The life of a Christian. The life of a Christian and life itself can change in many ways. But the most important thing, that no matter what comes our way, is that we know Christ as our personal Savior, and the realization that this, all that we have, is temporal, but what we have in Jesus is eternal. Knowing Christ. And I believe that's the reason Paul gave his testimony, and I believe this verse to be his testimony. For me to live is Christ. I asked you a question this morning, is, have you let things get in your way of your joy? Have you let things just kind of get in your way and you've lost your focus? If you have, I invite you to refocus and zero in on Christ. And there might be someone here this morning that doesn't know Christ as our personal Savior. I promise you, it'll be the best decision that you've ever made. There's some that are watching this morning and that will be watching. I ask the same questions. If you want to just come and talk to the Lord, we know that people need prayers for sure. So let's pray. Father, thank You for the life that we have in You. We thank You for the understanding that Paul had for me to live as Christ. Help us, Lord, to focus on You. Father, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, speak to that heart. Father, if there's someone that just needs to come and talk, that's just kind of gone wayward a little, or maybe the focus has changed, help them to focus on You. Fathers, we have this invitation. We step back and we just allow You to speak to hearts. And we'll give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.